The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brother, I think all of us pretty much understand that when God puts something into the Bible in several different places, it would seem that he is certainly stressing that particular topic, whatever it is. And we've probably all heard the statement, and it's true that repetition is an important form of emphasis. Now, brother, I want you to think about this for a moment. Consider, if you will, with me, how many times God's words mentions the topic of love. Think about how many different passages give us the command to love God. And the thing is, brethren, all these, in almost all of the cases, all of these different verses basically say the same thing. For example, in both in the Old and New Testament, we see the same thing being emphasized in regards to this. In Luke and in Matthew, where they're writing in the New Testament, Moses writing in the Old Testament, and yet they state pretty much the same emphasis. I want to go to the Old Testament first. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. In other words, you to internalize this is to make you part of who and what you are. And then we go to the New Testament. I'm going to read Luke 10 and verse 27. Luke 10 verse 27. And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then in Matthew 22 and verse 37, Matthew 22, 37, and he said to him, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. So the point here, brethren, is the Bible has a great deal to say about the topic of love. In fact, the Bible actually tells us that love is of God. It also tells us that God is love. In other words, what we're saying, what we're hearing, and what we're understanding here is love is a foundational characteristic of who and what God is. Therefore, I think that it's a right statement that we can make. Everything God does is encouraging and influenced by his love. So in this message, I hope that every one of us will seriously consider whether or not we have love for God. And also that we will consider that we demonstrate this kind of love for God as he fully intends that we do. I have entitled this message today, this sermon, as Love God Most. One thing that probably most all of us have heard over and over is that loving God means keeping his commandments. And we find this to be true in 1 John. So if you would, please go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read verses 2 and 3. 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. So we ask, is loving God simply a matter of keeping the Ten Commandments? Yet we also ask, is there more? Is there more It's not a question of do we keep the commandments. Is that the summation of loving God, is keeping the commandments, or is there more? Is loving God a state of mind? Is loving God having a warm, fuzzy feeling about who God is? Or is loving God having simple affection toward God? In the New Testament, in the King James Version of the Bible, let me rephrase that. The word love occurs 131 times in the Old Testament and occurs 179 times in the New Testament, for a total of 310 times. And in the New International Version, the NIV, in the Old Testament, the word love occurs 319 times, and it occurs 232 times in the New Testament, for a total of 551 times. Why is there such a difference? Well, different words. I'm talking about just the word love. The NIV is a more modern translation. It is also, they take many of those different words that the King James use, has other words that would mean love, but they take those and they put the word love. So it's a big subject. That's the point that I'm making here. I also think, brethren, that it would help for us to try to briefly define the word love as we commonly use it in our society today. First of all, please realize the word love in the English language has gathered a lot of baggage over the years. I mean, what our society calls love, some of it is not necessarily going to coincide with what the Bible says. Sometimes, for example, even in the world, they use the word love to mean lust. There was a TV show many years ago that was called The Love Boat. I would always call it Lust Boat, because that's what the whole program was about. It was one of these early TV shows that were emphasizing everything goes, and with anybody that you choose to. And here's the boat where you'd be captured on. Here you are on it, and there it is. And we all get to watch it on the TV shows, and they call it Love Boat. In one online dictionary, the word love was defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. Honey, I really have an intense feeling of deep affection towards you. I don't think that would get it. I just don't think that would get it. It also was defined as great interest and pleasure in something or someone. And of course, these dictionaries online, they also mention other words for love, including the romantic use for love. Love, we're still talking about in our culture today. Love has many synonyms: affection, passion, fondness, zeal, and dozens of others. And I would rightly state that a few of those ideas are related to how we are commanded to love God. Here, let me repeat what we read from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. I have reasons for rereading this. It states, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Also want to reread the words of Jesus in Luke 10 verse 27, where he said, and he answered, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, basically, we read it the same thing in Matthew 22, verse 37. So, having reread this and getting it fresh in our minds, we need to ask, how or what does it look like to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, as Jesus himself commanded us to do so? What does it look like? Brethren, do you think that we can learn from our perfect example, Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, who always manifests his love for his Father? Do you think that we can look at anything about Jesus and learn maybe something about love? So we ask, how did Jesus love God? Well, definitely it was a completely positive experience. Now, please go with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm 40 and verse 8. Just the one verse. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart. Now, that's the King James Version. The Hebrew word here for delight is A-N-O-G, ignag, and it comes from a primary root word that means to be soft or pliable. And the sense of that, because I've told you before, both Greek and Hebrew language have what it means and how it was used, but it also has a sense of, and the sense of this word here means moldable. Therefore, brethren, what we can especially notice in this verse is that there was delight to do God's will. That was showing us that David, who wrote this, was soft or pliable or even moldable towards God's will in his life. David, the author of this statement, did not feel coerced to obey God in any way. He loved God with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength, just like the commands, both old and new, are telling us. In fact, David obeyed God's will enthusiastically. I also want us to realize that in a prophetic sense, this verse, and pretty much all of Psalm 40, but especially we just read the one, Psalm 40 and verse 8, in a prophetic sense, this verse is referring to Jesus Christ and his part in God's plan. This is referring to the fact that he delighted. He was pliable, he was soft or moldable to do God's will, whatever it was. It has the sense of deep love. That's one of the things that we can see in Scripture, what it looked like for Jesus to love God with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength, just as we are commanded to do so also. Now, another one of the aspects of Jesus looking at his love for his Father is that he always sought to please the Father. John 8, verse 29. John 8, verse 29. And he has sent me, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So is pleasing also an aspect from a biblical sense of love? Of course it is. Of course it is. Then an additional aspect of God's love, of Jesus' love for the Father, is that Jesus conscientiously did the work that God gave him to do. He faithfully completed every task. John 17 and verse 4. On the night that he was arrested, Passover night, then was arrested, crucified the daylight of that same day. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And then while on the cross, we see in John 19 in verse 30, John 19 in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What was finished? Well, obviously it was his life, and that it was the work that the Father had given him to do. The verse goes on and it says, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died. Powerful, powerful illustration how Jesus demonstrated his love to the Father. He died. He died to show God how much he wanted to do his will. He died for it. Surely, brethren, we can all say we love God to some degree. I mean, the more we were to think about it, we could even say, maybe we can even all say that we love God a lot. Yet, do we really love God first? And brethren, let each one of us ask, do we always love God with all of our being, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our strength? Do we love God by our choices? Is our level of love pleasing to God? Is our form and level of God, and is our form and level of love enough? Do we love God as Jesus loved God? I want you to think about this, brethren, for a moment. Have we ever known or ever met anyone who actually fulfills this biblical admonition? Now, consider carefully for a moment some questions that I'm going to ask. And I want all of us to ponder these questions, and as we do, let all of us consider, what percentage of our capacity to love goes into the world versus putting our purposes, our efforts, and our energy into loving God? Think about the percentage. How much do we love things of the world in a comparative sense to how much we love God? Do we ever, here's the list of questions. Do we ever get so preoccupied with daily life and commitments to others in the world? I'm not saying we're not to have these daily commitments and we're to have these things toward others in the world, did I? I'm not saying we're not to do this. This is a question percentage. Do we ever get so preoccupied with daily life and commitments to others in the world so that we are too busy to involve ourselves with loving God most? Is that putting God first? Or is that putting something else before God? Ten Commandments. Remember, it says, we started off by saying, is that really the culmination of love for God? John tells us in 1 John 5 that keeping the commandments is loving God. And one of the commandments is way back in Exodus 20 was where God says, and you shall put me first. Nothing shall be before me. I'm paraphrasing it, but it fits. The fact is, brethren, God's word tells us that we are not even to love the world at all. Wow. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So, how many of us want to abide forever? Well, the answer is all of us. Well, he just told us how to do it. It's a lot of things that we put in there, but this is, it tells how to do it. Now, I understand very quickly we could come and say, yeah, but. And there are some yeah, buts. There are things that we are to love. I am to love my wife. I am to love my children. I am to love you. And the answer is, and my point to all of this is, I do. But I want to love God first. I want to love God most. So I think here is a good question to ask is, so what is the world that we are told that we're not to love? Well, it includes things such as money, career, power, prestige, possessions, sensual pleasures, other people and self, and many, many other things. And I understand that we would probably all agree that that is a really tall order for all of us to face. And you look at all of these things. None of these things, of and by themselves, are wrong. It goes back to that question, as the instructions that I was giving to all of us that said, when we look at these questions, what is the percentage? If we ranked them, and first, second, and third, the order in which we do it, where would these things be in connection to where God is? So another question I think that we need to ask is, so why are we not to love the world? To make it, I think, as simply as I can for me, it is because God must be our only master. The only thing that's in charge of us, the only thing that is over us. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. There's no exceptions. There's no one that can substitute their word in there for no man. It includes every single living being person. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon here could be translated as money, but it also can be translated as everything and to be put first instead of God. Therefore, we ask, why are we told to love God first and foremost? Why? I want us to all please understand clearly, God wants to be loved. God wants to be loved just as He wants to ever love us. In essence, what God is telling us is that His love for us is priceless. We've seen some of these commercials. This is what's priceless. It's the love of God. How do we know this? How do we know? I'm saying it's true. How do we know this is true? Well, let's remember, God's love for us included His priceless sacrifice and His purpose in making us His real, actual, everlasting, loving children. 1 John 3, verse 1. Just going to read the first part of the verse. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And so we are. That's priceless. Now, please go with me to a very familiar verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. What love. You see, brother, here's the thing. God intends to share His eternal riches, and He intends to share with us His level of experiencing future eternity. It's for His children. It's not for the angels. It's not for the animals. It's not for those people even who do not, will not love God as He wants us to love Him. It's for those who choose, practice, love God as He wants us to love Him. And the point here, brethren, is that He stated this in a very profound and loving way. We just read it. He sent His Son for us. That verse starts, God so loved. It says the world, because the opportunity is there for every human being. Sad to say, is everyone of the world going to accept that? No. No. It's going to be sad. So again, brethren, this leads up to, we need to ask another question. What is the one and only appropriate response that we can give to God for His lavish love for us? What is it? The answer is, we must love as He loves. We must love thoroughly. We must love Him more than anything else. And brethren, the thing is, we can only do that when we have abandoned our love for the world. And when we allow Jesus Christ to live in us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God sends His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, because He loves us. Jesus Christ came because He loves us. And He died because He loves us. And brother, all of this happens only after we have repented and turned completely to God, and when God has granted us His Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living in us. God begets us as His precious child. God gives us Jesus Christ to live within us. All of this is love. All of this is a biblical definition of the word love. And also, to change us face by face to look like Him, to think like He thinks, to feel as He feels, and for us to be as He is. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass in the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Wow. Wow. To me, it's a real touching question that I think we need to ask. Can we even begin to grasp the magnitude of God's love for us? I mean, we read these verses and we go, yeah, it's what it said. But does it really hit us that this is real? This is what he's saying. What fantastic and huge hidden treasures of life does God have in store for us? We can't even imagine it. I stated this earlier. The Bible emphasizes that God is love. And the love that God requires of us as his children comes from him through our beloved Jesus Christ. The love God creates within us allows us to change and be changed into the image of our Father, who is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, because God is love. That's what we're going to become. That's what we're going to be changed into. In the future time, we could be referred to as you are love. Because that's what our characteristic, that is the nature, that's the essence of it. So, brethren, as we look around our world today, I think that we can see tremendous variety and beauty. I understand we also can look around and see all kinds of chaos and confusion and all of that. Look beyond that. Look, that's what the devil has created here. Look at what God has created here. Because, I mean, if we really look, we will see there is so much of the love of God for us to see if we would just look. So please realize, our generous God did that for us. The devil wants to destroy all of that because he wants to destroy us. But God created that for us, that we would become like he is. He, God, has entrusted with us dominion over the earth. And the thing is, brethren, he did it from the very beginning. The very beginning, creating us meaning humanity. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. We can read all of this down to here, but let's begin in verse 26. For God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, continues reading, very next verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth. From the beginning. From the very beginning. So I think we need to ask, and I think on an individual basis we need to ask, am I able to see the love of God in his plan and his purpose? That we see from the very foundation of man being created upon the earth. Do we see that? Do we see that's love? Well, I think we also know and can certainly agree with this, that there are many people who have become completely infatuated with success as the world would define success. However, brethren, what we need to realize is that the greatest success of all occurs when we have learned to love as God loves and when we love Him most. To be successful, as the world considers a person to be successful, is that wrong? Of and by itself, that's not wrong. If that is done at the expense of putting God someplace other than first, yeah, it is, according to God. Please also realize, brethren, we are God's handiwork. I mean, He is looking for perfection. He is even expecting perfection in us as His handiwork. Created us for that purpose. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Going back to the very beginning, what were we created to do? To become just like God. And what is God? God is love. He is expecting His love to be realized most fully when we are perfected and fully mature, spiritually speaking. I mean, think about it this way. At the end of our physical, mortal lives, we will have been completely successful and fully perfected when we have fulfilled the greatest commandment of all. When we love God fully, seeking the will of God will actually excite and delight us just as it delighted Jesus Christ to do the Father's will. Not asking for comments or show of hands, but can we say, that's where I am? We will not obey because we have to obey. There will never be any begrudging because we're in complete harmony and oneness with God. Obedience will flow out with joy. Doing the will of God will become our nature. And what is the real nature of God? Love. We will have shalom. Not going into what all that word means. We will be at rest. So, brother, when we come to the end of our earthly existence, we will have been successful when God's patterns and purpose of our loving Him are complete. It's a process for us now. We're in this process of becoming like God now. Are we completely there? No. Are we in the process? I certainly hope so. Cares and triumphs of this temporary life will pale into completing significance when we fully receive God's love and love Him above all else. Therefore, I think that we can clearly state, let all of us determine to have the mindset, the heart set, the will, that we will love God. And brethren, that is true success. That is true success. To love God most. To love God as He loves. the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed. We are blessed. Love you, brother, and love you all very much.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.